Deanne and I are working through that just to pull out some history tidbits that are missing from this brief history that we'll be adding in to some important things that are missing from the history.
There's some history.
Because one of the things that's missing from the history is
it makes
it sound like we're one big happy farm here.
No, we're revising that section right now.
Okay.
There's a lot of important things missing. That's the other final change that will be coming, aside from any comments that you have.
I mean, it's a list of all the canneries in Sussex County that historically it has. I just threw in a couple of names of some factories, and on the back of that sheet I wrote down that, you know, like in 1953, Lewis was the number one seafood port in the country.
Yeah, so. No, there's great things that are missing. So. For instance, I forget the number, but a lot of governors of Delaware came from Sussex County, things like that we're going to throw in there. So that section is untouched right now, but it will be.
Yeah.
Why are you chuckling?
Is it from Laurel?
I just wanted to make sure that it was in there, that this actually was quite an industrial area.
So that section is being changed, but.
And we talked about that a little bit. It's important because that also ties back into economic development too.
Yes.
You know, in terms of historically, we've been a. And I think a lot of people moving here probably don't necessarily realize that, and it's important to show that we kind of want to go full circle and get some new types of industries and technologies here too. So
shipbuilding, the canneries,
the buttons. There's a lot missing, so we're working on that right now. Okay.
If I may, Alexis, I think this is pretty well done.
Okay.
I just had a couple specific thoughts.
Let me pull it up so I can follow along. One second here.
And there aren't many for such a large section.
Yeah, your chapter doubled or tripled in size now.
That's good. It's there's a lot of great information in here. I think it's much better than the old element.
Okay.
Okay, that very the next page, second page.
Mm-hmm.
The last paragraph under 11.2.
Okay.
It talks about environmental benefits of conserving resources and conserving resources twice in that paragraph. And I think those need to be stricken. That's really not the role of the historical element. That's more the role of the conservation element. It's not something that is focused on.
Not sure it's actually true.
Yeah.
The reason I put that in there is because if you're promoting reuse of restoring properties, promoting reuse of properties instead of building new construction, you're saving trees. You're not spending
environmental. That's a stretch, you know.
Right.
So,
but
a
stretch. As a wife of a former restorer, there's a lot more resources that go into restoration than there are in new development.
Okay.
And like I said, there wasn't many notes that I made. So I don't know if you want to go page by page or if you want commissioner. 11.4.1.1, which is on page 8 under my copy.
Okay.
The 4th and 5th bullets down. The building codes and local zoning codes. What is our intent of that? What are we trying to?
Or was that?
These are the goals from the 2012 plan, and I mentioned in the line before that the Historic Preservation Board at the state is currently in the process of completing its 2018 plan. So.
Oh, that's the state's plan.
That's the state's. It's not the county.
Yeah.
So I'm not so sure. You know, including the state's plan and our comp plan is all that wise, but especially as it pertains to those zoning code references.
Well, you know, I can take the goals out and just, you know, I have a little section about different entities, and we have the State Review Board, and we can just leave it at that, you know, that they do this, and they currently, you know, have a preservation plan that they're updating, and then just take the goals out?
Yep.
Okay, let's do that then.
And then on page 9, there's a paragraph on the Nature Conservancy, and again, they're more about environmental lands, and that's more conservation-oriented. I'm not so sure that belongs in this element.
So I got that from Dan. I talked to him about partners, and he does some work with them. I can.
For rehab of housing or buildings or what?
It might be educational. Oh. You might partner with them on educational work.
Well, if that's the case,
I can double check with Dan what the specific.
Well, if that's the case, then leave it in, but then talk about that role,
yeah.
The educational role, not the conserving role, okay? Let's see. Page 10, the Sussex County Land Trust near the bottom, the same thing.
Okay.
They do have a role, but it's not so much in, I think it needs to talk about the role that they play, not the $4 million that it raised.
Okay.
That mostly went to protecting land. They did some rehab work with the, I think, the historical group, but we should be more specific about what
okay.
that role is.
Okay, I'll get the specifics from Dan, add a sentence or two.
And then on the items, and this is just
on that, just on that, like, I think the Wolf House was one.
This is just a general comment on the list of, as I looked at the list of different historic properties or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and there's a number of potato houses and churches and homes and all in a similar era. And, you know, we have to ask ourselves, you know, how much is enough of one particular type of historical preservation? You know, do we need to preserve every old potato house in the state, or is preserving a handful enough, you know, to preserve that segment of history?
Preserve them all.
You know, I don't know, because there's always limited resources, and you always have to allocate those. And so I'm not saying that there's too much of one or another, but I think somewhere in the document we have to talk about that at some point enough is enough. And we have to talk about moving on to a different type
and
of
this is data that comes from the National Register. So these are homes or potato houses or whatever they might be that are submitted to the National Register for listing.
Right.
And they can be they aren't necessarily submitted by the county. Now, Dan does help with some of the submissions, but municipalities submit their own. The county can't control who's submitting what to the National Register. Dan, as a county employee, can, as part of his duties, he does work with municipalities and homeowners to encourage them to submit to the National Register as a county employee. That's, you know, his role. But I don't think the county can control who else and what municipalities are submitting and what they're submitting.
So are you concerned then that we're saying what needs to be preserved, or are we saying that?
No, I'm just thinking as we look forward to expand the list, that one of the considerations needs to be, do we really need to add another potato house? Do we really need to add another 1,800 home? Or do we have enough inventory of that to preserve that segment of history for mankind?
And that's actually up for the National Register. That is not a county decision that gets made. That is, say, I own a 200-year-old home. I want to add it to the National Register. I would make that submission to them. They would go through their process and determine to add it. The county does not add properties mm-hmm. to this. This is a national registry that mm-hmm. homeowners and sometimes municipalities add to. So,
but I mean,
yeah, the
we
county
do
doesn't
determine which ones we participate with and which ones we don't.
Isn't our role that we are there to provide support?
Yes.
If they come to us, it's not to go to anybody and say, "You got a potato house, you better save it."
Well, like spending any money on this stuff. I mean,
no, it's just a support. Dan has a support role.
We should be there to support anybody.
Right.
Okay.
So ours is a support role, not an active
regulatory
go out and find it role. But really, I can't believe you think my potato house is not as important as your potato house.
Well, I don't have one, so you got me.
I don't know what one is.
Alexi, believe it or not, those are all of my comments. That's not very many.
Wow, Marty.
Yeah,
that's
a gold star, smiley
right.
face.
Thank you.
Anyone else have any specific comments?
That's what Marty's worried about. I'm assuming that you're worried that this could evolve into regulation by us putting this in here, where eventually somebody could look at this and say, well, what we need to do is wait.
Further.
Oh, we need to make a historic district in the county
the
that
zoning,
you can't get rid
on,
of your
on the zoning side and the rural code side, yes. And on the other side, if we decide we want to put some funds to historic preservation, I want to make sure, to me, that they go in a place that really has an impact, not just another of another. You know, so a good use of funds. You know, I don't have a problem using funds for it, historic preservation at all. Or the land trust investing in that at all. But I just want to make sure that, you know, if we have a choice between another potato house and something more significant, that we don't just do another potato house. I want to see your potato house, by the way.
Okay. Anybody else have any specific comments for historic preservation? Keller, you have anything specific?
No.
Okay.
Do you want something in there that specifically says our role is support and not?
I would like that in the front of every element, that we want less government.
Our role is support, not.
And we don't want to do anything that somebody can come behind. We want to be very careful that everything that we add to this, you know, this living document that's appearing to get a whole lot bigger.
Just wait.
You just open yourself up to more potential regulations down the road. And that's my concern, just.
Well, so that's something you want under your goals and objectives then, that you want our goal and objective to not be, that we do not want to become a regulatory agency on historic preservation in the county.
Yeah, that'd be, I would love that. Yeah, in every element.
And the only other general thing, I think this worked for this element, worked pretty well. Because of the massive changes, and it was fairly easy to see what was inserted and taken out. I think as we move to a more critical element like economic development or something of that nature,
yes,
future land use, we're going to need to use a strike through type format.
I like
but
that.
This worked here.
Okay.
So
I tried to keep as much as I could.
No, this is fine.
Uh-huh.
But in an element that has more meat and potatoes in it, we're going to probably have to insert what's been pulled and what's. Okay.
Okay.
Anyone else have anything else specific or general? All right, then.
If we're in agreement, then according to the procedures we adopted, then this would be any strike-throughs, we would save this,
mm-hmm,
okay? And we would put a version without the highlighted yellow and all on
mm-hmm
the website, but we would save this as a reference.
Sure.
With a separate link if somebody wanted to see the changes.
So I'm going to make these changes that you talked about. And like I said, I'm still working with Dan to clean up the history.
Okay.
So do you want to see the history section before?
I think I'm okay with it, I think, unless you guys, you know.
Well,
we're
just going to add in the reference to the industry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can read it. And if we want to bring something back, we can always come back. But I'd like to see that posted.
All right.
You know, as a draft.
Okay. Yeah. There's Hans. Okay. Let's.
Oh, my goodness.
Two more minutes, then we're going
to
talk utilities. What are we doing here? All right, two more minutes, Hans. Okay, just real quick, we're working on the community design. We're going to follow the same methodology, but we're going to do some more strike-through because, as we talked about at the meeting where we talked about community design, there's going to be a lot that is changing in this chapter. We drafted a vision, which I think we might work. We'll look at this today, and then we might work with Vince and Chip to wordsmith it. But I wanted to get some feedback on this vision so far.
Do we have
and
that?
And I think that I took this.
No.
What's that? No, this is the PowerPoint today. Yeah.
When you bring stuff like that earlier, it's spreadsheet and things like this. Even if it's at the last minute when you come
it's
in,
it's usually last minute.
If you could just make copies of it and just hand it out to us, that would be great.
Okay.
You know, I've only seen two things so far today that would be important to me, but
mm-hmm
that, you know, these two things I'd like to be able to get
you know,
at the end of the day or whatever. Just email it to me.
So just take a minute and read this. I actually. The basis of this was some language in the, I think, like the first paragraph or two for this element from 2008, and then I might have tweaked it a little bit. But I just want to get your initial feedback on this, and then we'll give it to Vince and Chip to wordsmith if it needs it.
I will say my only thought, going back to the lessons we learned from the 08 plan, would be I'm concerned about the word appearance.
Okay.
I don't know. When I read that, I start thinking about aesthetics. And the last plan had a lot of direction on, like, even down to house placement on a lot, like real appearance issues that we found. And that was supposed to be a 5-year plan. This is a 10-year plan. We found that quickly they came out of favor,
mm-hmm,
just because of trends and other things.
Okay.
I mean, maybe, I don't know what a different word would be, but that's just my concern about
it. I would just strike it and leave it out.
Okay.
And the word encourage, I would replace that with enable.
Enable. Okay.
Because I don't think government is very good at telling people what they should buy into or what their communities look like. The developers and the architects and designers of these developments are very sensitive to their market and to their buyers, and they are going to try to give a product that beats their competitor every day of the week. and they're going to respond to the public's desire and appetite for whatever change. And the one thing we don't want to do is have put government in a position where we're actually putting a stymie for innovative designs and things that people want. So I think we want to enable urban design methods. Strike the word appearance, because, you know,
okay,
as I get older, my appearance gets worse and worse. And
I thought when we went through, that we had, I thought we spent a lot of time talking about the cautions of trying to, you know, work towards regulating that, and that we just need to stay out of it.
Appearance in general. You're talking specifically about appearance, or
talking about encourage or enable?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just
enable's fine. I think we're fine with enable, right?
Because I look at that,
take
Keller's
out,
point.
Change it to appearance.
Yep,
to,
I've got enable, yeah, and I've taken appearance out.
Right, because I read the vision statement along what Marty's saying, is that if you're enabling urban design or suburban or whatever you want to call it, it gets into almost like what we think of as the perfect scenario with our RPCs, you know, where somebody can use their design ingenuity to design something. So it's almost the opposite of what Keller's saying. It's almost more flexibility rather than more regulation. Anyway, that's kind of the way I read it. Anyhow, we can work.
So what's the take on that?
I think we change it to enable, take out appearance, and we'll think about it.
Yep.
Okay.
Some more.
All right. Okay. Just real quick. So we spent a lot of time at the meeting in March going through goals, objectives, and strategies. So I pieced them all together to see if we had any holes after I lined everything up with the goals, objectives, with strategies underneath. These are the ones in the wording that we agreed upon at that meeting in March. I don't know if you want to spend time looking at them now. It's the ones we agreed upon, and I'll provide this to you as well. I just wanted to point out a few where I did make a few word changes, because what was that, Doug?
Well, she summarized.
I wanted to just point out a few places where I did make a few word changes because I found a few holes.
Okay.
So objective 13.1.2, I added the text in gray to that objective because the strategies that we talked about that go underneath it have more to do with aesthetics than also have an aesthetic impact and not just an environmental impact.
I have a problem with aesthetics because it's so subjective.
Yeah.
I might say a pink house is ugly, and someone might say a pink house is beautiful. And so that's the problem with trying to put something that's so personalized and subjective as aesthetics.
Well, I think you can lose the word the aesthetics, and it doesn't diminish what you're trying to do. Because, for instance, encouraging location of overhead utilities to underground is a safety issue.
Yep.
True.
You can't hit a telephone pole that's not there. So, you know, forget what it looks like.
But does that objective itself, if we just leave it as it was, promote site design that minimizes environmental impact, that just seems very specific. Can we make it broader?
Environmental and other impacts, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, we could do that for sure.
Let's say and other.
Okay. Yes. Let's do that.
Or just minimizes overall, overall impacts.
Okay. What's the preference?
I mean, that just seems so
subjective.
Promote site
design that minimizes environmental and overall impact. So we're just going to
minimizes
promote.
Just. I think he said just overall.
I would just strike environmental and aesthetic and just put overall impacts.
The thing that concerns me on all this stuff, and I just see it all the more and more all the time. Everything will just require some regulator to define what that just meant right there. I mean, we all deal with it if we do anything with the government, and it's just getting worse all the time.
You're going to have that no matter what you do, because if you say environmental impacts, some regulator is going to be stuck with having to decide what they are. Overall impacts, it's the same thing. So whether you say minimizes environmental and other impacts or overall impacts, I'm not sure you're ever going to get away from that problem, Keller. I mean, it's just going to be, it's part of the nature of this animal that that's what you're going to have. You know, if you want no government, then let's not have a plan at all, okay? But that's not where we are, and that's not reality.
But you're going to say I was having weekends off for a while, man.
Okay. So you're going to have some, you know, there's going to be some regulation. So our job is to try to keep that to a minimum, okay, or one of our jobs. And I don't know that anybody disagrees with that, but we have to have some, okay? And that's the, and that's where we are with this plan. So we're trying to come up with the overall document that we are hoping, and we are hopefully going to design, that can be implemented with the minimum amount of regulation. Okay, I think that's perhaps what we're trying to do, and I don't think anyone would disagree with that, as long as we can achieve that goal.
And that's a weak spot right now for us?
Well, I don't know if it's a weak spot. I just think it's something that we're going to make a very strong attempt to do with the plan. But we can't make the language so nebulous that it says nothing. Okay, I mean, it has to say something. And if we don't want to call out aesthetics, I agree with that. I think we're all having the backs of our minds when we talk about that is no one wants to get into aesthetic ordinances, okay?
Right.
Telling people what color their house has to be, oh. You know, and this type of thing. So we don't want to create a slippery slope, so we can just not use that word.
Okay, so is the consensus to say that minimizes overall impacts or that minimizes environmental and other impacts? A or B?
I like O.
Okay, so vote for A.
I'm all right with environmental and other.
You vote for B?
Yeah, it just doesn't.
I think Marty votes for A, that was his idea. Okay. Vince votes for B because that was his idea. So Keller and, oh, okay.
So
we got two votes for A and one vote for B.
I would say keep it more general. Would that go with A, right?
Okay, I think A is going to win then.
First three to vote with a new commission. Wonderful.
I feel very strongly both ways. Yeah.
That makes you a Democrat.
A, B, whatever.
All right. So on to the next goal and objectives. I think when I was looking back at the notes from the meeting in March, we had talked about a strategy having to do with open space. And I think I changed some of the wording for this one. So if you look at 13.1.4.1, I worded that so it would make sense under that objective that you agreed upon. So everyone agreed that the county should work to incorporate usable open space into new developments. The question is how to do that. So this is a proposed strategy. Thoughts on it?
I like it.
I'll get move forward so they can hear me in the back. Yes, I think this is good.
Okay.
Regulation, Keller.
Go ahead, Keller. You can disagree with me.
All right. I'm just...
Oh, so it's all right when
exactly.
I see how it's nailed it now. Okay. Start passing notes to Kim.
Okay. Are we okay?
All right.
Okay, when I was lining up goals and objectives for this one, we had an objective about promoting more flexibility in the design and character of RPCs. So I don't think we necessarily had a strategy for that. This is a proposed strategy that would go under that objective.
I will say this, so this to me makes sense. If you're thinking about height, mm-hmm. and density, yeah. and other things. So the RPC is the way you can do large-scale planning.
So we're not pigeonholing and saying you have to look at height. We're just keeping it broad, saying revisit the code and see if modifications can be made.
This gives you the tool to do a lot of the things that you've all been talking about.
Okay. All right. The next one also, 13.2.1, we were missing a strategy there. It's a really simple, you know, continuing what you're doing already, continuing to promote RPCs and cluster development.
One thing, and I agree with that. So one thing that another attorney who does a lot of land use with me talked about, and I think it falls under both of these, particularly maybe the RPCs, although it's probably a separate goal and objective and maybe in strategy, I guess, would be to promote better master planning, you know, so that if you have a single property owner or developer that owns, large areas of land, you don't get the fragmented developments, you get better master planning. Like we have some fairly large tracts of land that are owned by, you know, one entity here and there, or tracts that could be combined. And if we can promote that makes for
So this could be a new strategy under this objective?
Yeah, I think we're going to get some information on that. So anyways, when we get it, I'll pass it to the commission and you all, but it makes some sense.
Do you want to put one in for now?
You can put a placeholder in there about, you know, promote master planning one, you know, or encourage, I don't know how you're going to do it, developers to utilize master planning when possible, something like that. That's going to change, but I would say that'd be a placeholder for it.
Okay.
You may have to explain that to me.
Yeah, so in other words, this was the example that was given to me because it's an existing one. Like, think the size of Americana Bayside over on 54. Mm-hmm. If all that had been done as, say, seven different developments, we'd have seven different developments that wouldn't look the same, wouldn't be interconnected, wouldn't have been developed in a way that progressed sort of in a normal progression. And that the way it worked was probably good, and it has integrated commercial and, you know, amenities and everything else. If you kind of balkanize that into five developments, you wouldn't have had the level of amenities and the interconnection and the economies of scale for it being all developed as one. So our plan's kind of silent on that. We should look at ways through the RPCs or other ways to promote master planning when possible. It's not going to be, and it's not something to force on everybody because there's all sorts of variables, but when possible.
Okay. So encourage developers to utilize master planning when possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Janelle, do you have something you want to say?
Nope.
Okay.
And I only bring it up because somebody reached out to me and said that would be something that they would like to see in the plan. So I just wanted to put that placeholder in there for further discussion.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, this is not my arena, but the sunsetting and the timelines is the arena of the county engineer. So when we just struggled to get the timelines all in sync with the five-year sunsetting issues, if you do master planning for something like Americana Bayside, I want to remind everybody, I was involved in Americana Bayside at the early days, and that was 20 years ago. So you have to then look at your sunsetting timelines for master plans, because that needs to be addressed on that kind of, if you have a master plan, you can't just let it drop in 5 years, because I think you're going to have, nobody wants to touch a master plan then. Because at that point, you know, like, it's a much longer time picture you're pursuing.
Okay.
What do you think?
Thank you. Well, I think there's a bunch of different ways to look at a master plan. It can be let's look at this area, which is kind of like a mini comprehensive plan for a specific area, or it can be kind of what we've seen as RPCs. You have a property that is a master plan for that property. What I'm getting from Vince is, let's look at a larger area and look at the development of that area. So it's kind of like a mini kind of comprehensive plan for that area. You know,
what I've been presented was not more regulation or planning from counties.
No.
It's the developer coming up with an overall scheme and this is how they want to move forward.
Right,
we should encourage that.
A comprehensive plan is a holistic approach at looking at something. So you just do it on a smaller scale. A holistic approach at looking at a very narrow area of land. Instead of looking at it holistically at the countywide, you're looking at it holistic at a much more detailed scale. And looking at it, it's kind of a hybrid of a comprehensive plan and a more detailed RPC kind of master plan. It's somewhere in that in between. That's kind of what that a master plan really does. It looks at the transportation. It looks at utilities. It looks at. It's a much broader approach to. It looks at multiple different land uses, depending on what the property owner or owners wants to do potentially with that property.
Margaret Janelle, were you thinking of a master plan which requires state planning, Office of State Planning approval or not?
No.
At this stage, like I said, all I wanted to do is put a placeholder in there because, as I mentioned, somebody reached out to me who deals with this and has clients that deal with it, and they apparently have put something together in draft that they wanted us to consider. So
we'll
get it and look at it, see what it looks like, and you know, we may go, or we may say some of this works or some doesn't. So.
You can't get far.
Okay, I just have one more. So these we talked about last time. Everyone agreed on the language on these. This one. So when I put it together, I found there was a hole here. We talked about revitalization, we talked about redevelopment, but we didn't really talk about any strategies to do that. So what are some of the tools that you find yourselves using through the Planning and Zoning Commission that you can do to help encourage revitalization? and maybe continuing something you're already doing or maybe considering something new?
Most of our existing older communities are incorporated. They're municipalities. What are you talking about?
We're thinking out to 2045, so think about your building stock.
2045, I'll be an older community myself if I'm there. I'm trying to get my arms around.
We need one strategy. It can be
reduce regulation that cuts back on jobs so that we have more people willing to buy homes and fix them up. But anyway.
I like that girl.
Second.
You've got votes. Three votes.
Because, no votes. So,
All right, so maybe we need to mull this over a little bit, and next time we come back to this one. So
yeah, this is the only hole that we have in this element for the strategies and everything else, other than the ones we talked about.
We really need to move on here.
Yes.
Yeah, Hans has 4 minutes.
Oh my goodness. Okay. All right.
We are demonstrating the first rule of project schedules here, which is everything takes longer than you think it's going to. So let's try to get to Hans and utilities. We have folks here, I think, that want to speak. I don't want to short them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right.
So where we left off at the meeting last Monday was this last objective and strategy. So I think we've covered a lot at the last meeting on Monday. We have a few other goals and objectives and strategies to talk about today. Hopefully we can do that in just a few minutes. I know there was a lot of debate about this last time. Did anyone think about it in their sleep overnight in the last week and a half? If you're okay with the language as it is.
Refreshing everybody's memory, the objective of the county should be to have a sustainable renewable energy option, not a scattered one. So, you know, we should be working towards that goal when the co-op approaches us or DMAC approaches us, or we want to do something ourselves at one of our facilities at a larger scale, we should probably not be encouraging the level of the individual home. Not that it's a totally bad thing, but it's not, it has its drawbacks.
I agree with what you're saying. The problem with renewable energy from the people that I know that own those in large scale is that it has to be connected to the base load. Okay? It has to be able to be sustained under a base load environment. Because that's why those windmills are shut down, not because of lack of wind, but because they're running when there's no energy needed, and they have a choice to sell it at a really low rate, which doesn't cover the cost, or shut their windmill down by just computer. And so this is the problem with wind, with solar, especially because you may have energy when you don't need it, or maybe you don't have energy when you do if it gets a cloudy day on solar, and so you end up with the capital cost of both. You have a plant sitting over here waiting to start up when the wind stops or the sun goes in.
Well, but you can't have it sitting there because it has to be running because the startup time is so much that you wouldn't have the energy.
No, but I mean, there's peaker plants and stuff. You know, so they're you're paying for both. The public is paying for both because you can't let the electric go out, right?
Well, in the electric world, if you want to define it, what I think you're referring to is if you do a facility behind the meter, that means there is a base load. No matter what the conditions are, that facility will run because the base load will absorb it. So that's the ideal one. That's a co-location issue. You could have a second strategy that you encourage energy co-location. They go hand in hand.
Yep.
You could get into the weeds and to start discussing, you know, that you encourage renewable energy behind the meter. That means also, you know, like a home is behind the meter. That sort of becomes, again, a scattered vigil. But at least it's behind the meter. The refrigerator is running and the air conditioner is running, so that solar panel will produce energy which is absorbed. So there's a couple of strategies, but I don't know whether you want to be in the Mr. Chairman, do we want to be making recommendations to our power companies? I don't know whether we, how far we want to go there.
Well, but let me turn it on its head. It's not so much a recommendation to the power company, but if somebody comes in and needs to get a conditional use for, you know, a solar farm, do we want the goal to be worded in such a way that it maybe eliminates, you know, the not in my backyard type opposition to it because it's better for our energy grid?
You know, if you have a commercial grade renewable energy production facility, I'd say as long as it is tied to the PGM grid and has its already absorbed energy, let's say it is already integrated into either DPNL, DMAC, or the co-op. That means it is not selling its power, like Mr. Ross says, on the NYMEX on a daily basis. That's something we should encourage. We should certainly not encourage energy, let's call it energy speculation.
Correct.
Mm. But you have to really understand how this works. You know, like, because for you it looks like the same, whether it's
has. Visually it's the same thing, but
visually it's the same thing.
Okay.
So what's the consensus on this? I don't know if we have one.
What does all that mean?
Yeah.
You can expand on our strategy, Alexis, okay, by saying that from a utility level standpoint, mm-hmm, and just take out the scattered and say utility standpoint with a committed power company integration. So that way, so you have the integration component and you have the large scale utility component.
Everyone okay with Hans's recommendation?
Yes.
Great, let's keep going. Okay, the next goal has to do with drainage management of stormwater. This is a new topic that wasn't covered in the 08 plan, but we would like to cover it in the 2018 plan. So ensuring adequate drainage management of stormwater, objective under that, supporting state and Sussex Conservation District stormwater management efforts. So this is supporting the people who do the stormwater management. Two strategies under here: continuing participation in the stormwater regulatory advisory process with the state for the development of new stormwater regulations. So this is something ongoing that Hans does. Secondly, supporting the conservation district in the management and implementation of the statewide stormwater regulations. So these are two things ongoing.
Given you the background on both strategies, let's start with the 1.2. Would you approve in the changes to the road and drainage section of the Sussex County Code actually codified that strategy? So you essentially said in that document, when we rewrote these regulations, we will not choose to do this on our own. We will support the district. We will coordinate with the district on this. So we essentially have already implemented 8.4.1.2, and we are making a commitment that we continue to do so. On the other one, the continued participation, this will still take several years, maybe not several, hopefully less than several, but more than one, to really arrive at the new regulatory component to the stormwater. Now, within that length of the plan, I can assure you it will come up again, and we'd like to have a seat at the table. So we want to have a strategy where we can point to and say, the Planning Commission, the County Council, would like to have a seat at the table for any regulatory advisory processes, and that could be the ongoing one as well as future, because in the length of the plan, we will most likely see it again.
Isn't that what that says?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's, I wanted to give you a little bit of background why Alexis and I put these in there, so you don't feel like they have no basis.
Okay, so we're okay with these two? The next objective, 8.4.2, encourage site design that maximizes or optimizes infiltration and minimizes stormwater runoff. Strategy would be consider working with stakeholders to develop buffer incentives or a program. And that's language that we had talked about in the land use discussion.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's the same strategy carried over.
Just get with Hans on the rest of this stuff and we'll go to public. I'm just kidding.
We only have two more goals, so we're almost done. All right? All right, on to telecommunications. So goal, ensuring adequate telecommunications coverage. This could be internet, cable, cell service throughout the county to meet the needs of county residents. Objective, encouraging the expansion of telecommunications services as technology, market demand, and return on investment allows. And strategy would be coordinating with and providing technical assistance to telecommunication providers as they work to extend services to Sussex County residents. So this is a support role, what the county does.
Let me maybe point one thing out here. You remember when the cell tower discussions were raging heavy, that there were co-location discussions, co-location requirements, et cetera. So it looks, that seemed to have died down. Is that, or do you still see it simmering anywhere?
No, we...
Fewer applications, right? I think we have good coverage. We have a significant number of providers. And I think we should maybe always consider the co-location strategy in order to not further, you know, expand the sites we have, but step away from making it too restrictive. So I don't know what the future will hold, but the, like you can certainly see that we will be moving away more from the cable services to the air services. So is there room for a second strategy, Janelle, you think, which may talk about that in terms of microwave communication links and their co-location, either on state, county, or privately owned facilities?
We can definitely look into that.
Think about whether we want to add another strategy to
that. Yeah, because I can tell you, we've seen a number of applications for new towers going up in the last year. So, and they all try to co-locate, but they just don't meet the requirements to provide service. So, but yeah, if we can look and encourage more co-location, we can definitely...
Put a second strategy in place, the 512.
So we do an add a strategy, or are we still thinking about it?
We'll talk about it.
Okay. But it would be along the lines of encouraging co-location of mm-hmm. telecommunications when possible or feasible or whatever
yes.
it may be. Okay. All right, last one. Okay, so another new thing that wasn't in the 08 plan, waste reduction and recycling. So this goal is supporting those efforts in the county. Objective, continuing support of DENREC and the Delaware Solid Waste Authority's waste management and disposal efforts to ensure adequate services for solid waste and recycling. Once again, this is a support objective. And we have a number of different strategies under here. Include siting for recycling containers in land use approvals on controlled sites to avoid illegal dumping. And if you want to jump in at any point, Hans, to talk about these, I'll just run through mm-hmm. them. Revising
the first one, just to give you background, mm-hmm. You may know that the authority is losing more and more recycle sites because of the unwillingness of the property owners to support the sites. The county actually has one of these on our inland base facility. It is a constant, it's a constant maintenance issue. We have to constantly clean up the site, remove illegal dumping. So I think as citizens would like to have more sites, we have to be very careful how we site them and what the requirements should be in order to site them. So that's why that strategy is on there.
Okay. Next, revise county code to include conditional use approvals for recycling processes in the county.
That sort of ties in directly to strategy one, because if we allow this as an incidental use, then you don't have the ability to regulate it better, because you as a commission want to have some handle on, you know, like how this looks and who should have one and who shouldn't have one.
Okay, the next one, develop siting criteria for county code regarding hazardous waste and waste energy, i.e. incinerator facilities.
There's a state law prohibiting incineration.
That is exactly right. There is a state law making it very difficult to have waste-to-energy facilities. And I know that from my levy court days. But if you, the only thing is here is if it were to be allowed. It's like one of these things, if you don't have anything, you know, like what does it become?
Yeah, you're opening yourself up if you don't.
This
have
is more like a 40 years from now, this
protection.
Is a protection for
right.
the next. This is not something which is going to happen soon. But you know, all the recycling and the yard waste efforts, which the legislature took, it took for reasons only to limit the landfill space, which was running out quickly in Newcastle. So 40 years from now, we will have to, somebody will have to look at these things.
All right. Consider revising the major land subdivision approval process so that, this is a little wordy. It requires homeowners associations to select a single waste hauler provider when they set up their HOA bylaws.
Why?
That's a big pet peeve of mine, of the county engineer, not mine. Having lived through, Kent County is the second largest solid waste collector in the state of Delaware. And you didn't know that, did you?
No.
I do not encourage Sussex County to get into this business. It's a very difficult business to be in. But the state law allows Kent County to be in the solid waste business, and they are big time. So I have certainly seen it on both sides. If you have a single waste collector, such as the county, provide services, you have one trash truck and one recycle truck and one yard waste truck go through the subdivision and collect the waste. Now, I'm not by any stretch suggesting any restriction in the competition, but it makes sense not to have four waste trucks, four recycle trucks, and four yard waste trucks rumble through every subdivision. And I say this as the county engineer from a road design aspect. Our roads are not laid out for that continuous heavy truck traffic. And so especially if you have, you know that our cul-de-sac and turnaround requirements are limited, trash trucks notoriously tear up the end of county roads. So if you multiply this times three or four, you can see the end effect is that the end user, the homeowner association, has to spend more money maintaining roadways because we allow them to be torn up by trash services. So
cool. I'm going to fight you on this one. I understand what you're saying, but I can see this as a way for unscrupulous homeowner association presidents to line their pockets. So if you say you have to pick one, I think it should be encouraged for the very reasons. I mean, we have one in my, it's nobody told us we had to do it. We got a great deal, they negotiated a deal, and then they said, we've got one hauler, here's how much it's gonna cost, and if you try to go in, and then you looked at everybody else and you're like, well, that's a lot less. So we got a great deal that way, but nobody told us we had to do it. And in that way, nobody was getting a...
Kim, there's the roadway issue and there is the environmental side. You see, like if you have, you can really only plan routes when you do routing, since I've been involved in truck routing for trash routes. When you plan a route and you have these scattered pickups, environmentally, you blow a lot more diesel fumes into the air because you have less efficient routes. So I think it has merit, but I'm putting it out there for the commission to vote it down.
Well, this would apply to new, this would apply to new subdivisions, yeah. I would think, when this takes the form of an ordinance, because remember, this plan is a guideline. Just because we put it in the plan doesn't mean people have to do it. Would have to be backed up by an ordinance. I suspect the ordinance would apply to new subdivisions only after a certain date. And, you know, to protect oneself from an unscrupulous homeowners association president, you have to have properly written bylaws. And if there is an attorney involved who is aware that if such an ordinance is adopted, that potential is there, then they certainly can protect themselves by having proper bidding rules and so on. I get where this makes sense. I'm a little reluctant to tell people they have to do it too, but I know on the street I live on, there are five different trash companies picking up trash from 15 homes. I mean, really? I mean, that's just ridiculous.
I'm one of those great people, and it's not restricting
competition. In fact, I would tell you that the trash companies would probably support this Because it's much more efficient for them to be able to go through one development, you know, and pick up all the trash five of them to go.
One of the byproducts of this could be is that we eliminate competition. The state did this when they said you've got to change what kind of trucks you have. They put a lot of small haulers out of business. So then now we've got bigger companies. And I can see the bigger companies, you know, a bigger company is going to be able to outbid somebody else. We're just going to eliminate
work. Let me give you another point for your side, because here's another issue with this. If you got some place like Baywood or Mankato Bayside, where you might actually have 5 or 6 homeowners associations in the same development.
Right.
So you're going to end up with 5 or 6. You could potentially end up with 5 or 6 different carriers in there anyway. It might be something to consider. I'm not sure that it's something to do.
I agree with Kim on this. I think
we're having an ordinance discussion right now.
So are we okay leaving it in with the language consider? Is the question.
Or just take it out if you don't want to consider it. I don't see anything wrong with considering it, but I see some problems with making it happen in the ordinance world.
Marty?
I'm not sure you can.
I agree with Kim, and I support her in removing the item, only because if a trash hauler wants to approach an HOA and say, we're going to give you a great deal to do your whole community, that's the free market system at work, so they can make an agreement or not. I don't think this is a role for government.
I agree.
Take it out. All right. Last one, work with the Delaware Solid Waste Authority to identify future transfer sites in the county.
That's cool.
Okay.
Good luck on that.
Yeah.
Good luck to you. All right, that's it for today.
Okay,
for what we
great.
Have.
Thanks. Okay, public comment.